on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, we've got Shreveport Water and Sewer Director Brandon Sneed. Scott Hughes is in for Mike Martindale, Brandon, so he may be asking you a couple of tough questions, too. The City Council voted unanimously yesterday to move forward with a special exception use for the data center. You are the man on the hot seat with regard to the water and sewer. Now for your department? What are your marching orders now with regard to the use of water for a data center and the wastewater?
Well, right now, there's really not much to do. There's a lot of other things that have to happen before we ever get involved. And until they start building and needing our infrastructure, that we're kind of in the stand, we're in a holding pattern right now.
How soon do you think that we will actually start seeing work done? What are you being told to prepare for?
I've been told in a couple of years we'll start seeing a lot of activity, probably a lot before then, but before they'll actually start needing a lot of our water, according to the documents that you've seen. Until they're fully phased out, they're not going to pull that much water. And I think there's been a lot of conversations regarding, the water agreement seeing that max number of 7.5. That's a max number. What we will more than likely see will probably be more something like 2.5 million to 3 million on an average daily use.
And you're talking about 2.5 million gallons of water a day for the data center, but we've authorized up to 7.5 million gallons a day, and you're saying they won't need that much.
That's not going to be a daily use. A lot of that is for fire suppression, their sprinkler systems, things of that nature. A daily usage is going to be more on that lower end, which is still a great revenue boost, but it's not going to be that daily pool of 7.5 million. If they do, that's fine. We can handle that. A lot of the infrastructure upgrades that they've committed to building for us will provide for all of that, not only for them, but also for the West Shreveport pressure zone and the city.
And Brandon, Scott Hughes, good morning. As I watched the debate, there seemed to be a lot of difference. They would say the word water, but what came apparent to me is we were talking about three parts of water. We're talking about capacity, we're talking about distribution, and we're talking about quality. And I may be naive, but this seems to only deal with capacity. It doesn't seem like it's going to affect distribution or quality a whole lot. And so can you address that? How would this deal address? I think you were talking about capacity. Is it going to hurt us on distribution and quality, or is it going to help us in that area?
No, actually, it's actually going to be opposite. It's going to help the area for capacity. Let me just give you a figure. Cross Lake holds about 23 to 24 billion gallons of water.
Billion with a B. 9, billion.
000 billion. It's over 9,000 plus acres of land. We're fed from all the rain from tributaries from East Texas. We have the capacity. The plant was built for about 225,000 population. We don't have that anymore. We've dwindled. So we have plenty of water to sell. So with the improvements they want to do in that area, it's going to benefit that area. It's going to benefit with the looping of some water lines, newer pumps, bigger pumps at the 77 Pines booster station, also another elevated ground storage tank.
Are they paying for all of that? They're paying for all the infrastructure that you just mentioned.
Absolutely. The city of Shreveport will not bear the cost. Water and sewer will not bear the cost for any of those upgrades I just mentioned.
And a water tower is part of the plan?
That is part of the plan.
Okay, let's talk about the revenue boost, because you say if they use 2.5 million gallons a day, what does that translate into for what we sell? How much money the city's going to get for that?
At 2.5 million gallons per day used, it's approximately $3 million per year from one user. One.
Okay, and if they go over that, it goes up, and that's we need new users, because you can then spend that money on other improvements that you're under that consent decree for in other parts of town, right?
Right. And not only the consent decree, but in our water system. And that's the important part. And that's, in our negotiations with the consent decree is, we've been very clear with them about we have to also invest in our water infrastructure. We cannot neglect that. Every dime on sewer, we have to have a balance. So this extra revenue will absolutely be a benefit to the entire city, because we can put that into more capital projects.
This is not your first rodeo with water and sewer. We have had, and mine either, in my how many years I've been doing this, we have had summers in August around this community where we're told, hey, maybe not water your yards this week. We're in a drought. Are there concerns about that with regard to a user?
No. Matter of fact, I've done a lot of research and pulling data with my institutional knowledge, but also my staff. You know, looking back at that, I looked back and I found that we didn't do a mandate. We just asked people if they would maybe not water their lawns as much in 2013.
That was the last time
we did that.
Okay.
Last time we did that. And I'll tell you about pumpage. Right now, average daily pumpage, right now, currently today, we are pumping out of the plant about 35 million gallons per day. Remember, the plant's rated for 78 million gallons per day. From December to December this year, our average pumping for the entire year was approximately 43 million gallons per day.
Could such a heavy user impact water pressure? I mean, where I'm sitting now is, as the crow flies, a few football fields away from this location. Could that impact water pressure in West Shreveport at all?
No. West Shreveport, if you remember, a lot of the infrastructure built there was built for big industry like GM. When GM left us, there was not a lot of usage in that area. So we have infrastructure there. The West Shreveport pressure zone, the way it's designed, it's a good location for a user such as that, whether it be the data center or another user like that. It's going to be a easy feat for us to do, especially if they go into the higher end and they build out this extra infrastructure. It's a win for us as far as our revenue, but also I think it's going to benefit the citizens in the surrounding areas with newer infrastructure and better equipment.
And Brandon, you mentioned we've had large industry here before, AT&T, General Motors, other large users. I think y'all sell water to Barksdale. What kind of users were those? And then what happens to the wastewater coming out of this? 7 million goes in, 2 million goes in. What comes out?
Okay, good question. When GM was here at the height of their usage, they were using about 2.5 million gallons per day. And so what'll happen with this company, a lot of the water they're going to take in, it's going to be recycled because of the cooling towers. And so about 35% of that will come back, and that'll be sewer, and it's going to be your basic sewer. It's not any more different than a residential or regular commercial. They're going to be charged industrial rate, just like else would be. And so it's about 35% of what goes in, we will get back as sewer.
One more question before we let you go. And sure. I know you'll be honest because you are a very upstanding young man. Are there some concerns that Brandon Sneed, Shreveport's Water and Sewer Director, has about this project? Is there anything that hey, we got to address this. We need to take care of this. This could become an issue.
No, ma'am. We've been studying this. I mean, we didn't just start on this last week. As you know, we've been our water sewer model, we've been studying this. Our experts, our engineers, the people we pay to study it, along with our institutional knowledge. And any of that was addressed then. And that's what we do. We look at this. We model it. We see, can this site support this? Can we support this? What upgrades would we need to do or would they need to do in order for this to come to fruition? So any of those concerns would have already been answered. So currently now, I do not have any.
And go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, Brandon, because I heard some good points. Would it be safe to assume that the company that did did their research, they feel safe that you can provide this? They wouldn't be investing $2 billion if they had a concern that you couldn't provide water over a long period of time. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. I mean, that's it's a partnership when somebody that large or any business opens here. They want to know that they can be provided for. And in the water service agreement, there are things spelled out in that contract. If act of God or a drought happens that's beyond us, well, then that is what it is. They wouldn't come here if they didn't feel we could provide the utilities that they need.
Gotcha. Brandon Sneed, Shreveport Water and Sewer Director. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Brandon.
Tom Arsenault is going to join us in about 20 minutes. We will talk to him about what is next for the data center for Shreveport. That's coming up right here on Key.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, Ruben, I am not down with what I just heard. I'm really not.
It's a little ridiculous.
I'm really not. Christmas Eve, 79. Christmas Day, 80. How did this happen?
What if we had a week of actual winter weather this
right.
winter? About a week.
You know what that does, though? It scares me.
Right.
For February.
Yeah.
That's because we're going to have a... Yeah.
We always get got in February.
Going to have one of those ice mageddons or whatever you call it.
Something.
And something crazy.
We're going to be up at the hotel.
When's the last time... Seriously, when's the last time we've had 80 degrees on Christmas Day?
I remember a few warm Christmases. I can't even remember what the weather was like last Christmas.
I don't remember. I really don't.
All.
I'm hoping we can catch up with Richard Llewellyn and he'll pull up some historic data. But this is going to be probably among the warmest Christmases we've had in a long time.
In a while, for sure.
It really is. And it just, it kind of wrecks the spirit.
It's weird. It's weird. Everybody's wearing their Christmas clothes and it's 80 degrees.
I know.
Outside.
I was out. I had to go by Tubbs Hardware over the weekend, and they were cooking some down-home sausage on the grill outside,
yeah.
And they had king cake. And, you know, it's just a great place. If you're looking for a Louisiana gift for somebody.
It's the place.
And this is not a commercial, but people are outside around the grill in their shorts.
In their shorts.
It was people wearing shorts, eating some down-home sausage and biscuits. And I thought, holy cow. This is, and then when I heard him do that forecast today, 80 degrees on Christmas, I thought, this is nutty. And
That's
it doesn't
wild.
Look like any rain, no precip in the plan. So hopefully we'll catch up with Richard and he can kind of give us a lowdown on what the heck is going on.
Maybe we can convince him to change it.
There you go.
We'll talk him into snow for Christmas.
Wave his magic wand and fix
yeah.
it.
Yeah, just
we'll
a day of snow.
I would love that. I would love that.
It could be 80 degrees a day after. We'll all go swimming.
Yeah. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Mayor Tom Arsenault, what now on the data center? Now that it's been approved by the city council, what is ahead? And do the opponents have any, you know, action they can take? We will talk with the mayor about that coming up in about 10 minutes right here on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We are back. Scott Hughes in studio. Thank you. And you brought coffee.
Merry Christmas.
Thank
it's Christmas
you.
Week.
That's sweet. Can you believe Christmas week's already here?
Coffee and 80 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I think the coffee is colder than the temp's going to be. No, that's good hot coffee.
This
definitely.
Is not normal.
Yeah, this is really
Maybe Richard
not normal.
Llewellyn will come on in.
He is. He's coming on after 7 o'clock, and we'll kind of figure out what the heck is going on. Mayor Tom Arsenault is next. The data center has been approved by the council. The big question is, what now? Of course, we will ask him that right here on Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, we are joined, thankfully, this morning by Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. I appreciate you being available to us today. This is a big day for our city. The city council voted unanimously 7-0 to approve the special exception use for a data center for West Shreveport. First, your reaction. I assume you thought this was going to go well, and it did. What were your thoughts when you heard about when you saw the vote?
Well, I was very pleased with the vote. It really demonstrates the kinds of things that we can do to move the city forward when all of us are pulling in the same direction. And I think the biggest, this was a very controversial thing that we were able to get together on with the unanimous vote of the council, support of the administration, support of a lot of the business community, and support of a lot of citizens. I mean, there were more people that spoke in favor than spoke opposed yesterday. And that just tells you that there is a feeling that we're ready to move Shreveport forward.
What happens now, Mayor?
Well, I think now they have the developer has secured the water supply, has secured the all of the zoning rights and that they have to do. So they'll have to make a final decision and followed by an announcement. And I really don't know exactly when that will happen, but I think it will happen quickly.
So you're saying It's not quite a done deal yet.
Correct.
Are they looking at other communities too? Is that a concern for you?
No, I don't think so. No, I think they just need to put everything in place for here. So I feel very confident that this will occur. But there's still some steps in the process. All of them are basically away from it. So they're developer kind of steps that they need to take to wrap it up.
What kind of time frame are you anticipating that we will know that this is where they're coming, that it is going to be a done deal for us?
Well, I'm not sure. There's some other pieces of the puzzle that are out there, and I think they're waiting to get some of those pieces in place. I would anticipate, I would certainly hope within the next 6 months, and it may be much earlier than that.
Tom, good morning. This is Scott Hughes.
Hi, Scott.
Congratulations on you, the council, on getting this through. One quick question, just as we're in the first part of this. Somebody raised a question last night about the physical application. It wasn't in order. Are you concerned that there might be any appeals of this decision? Legally, are we moving on, or does anybody have an appeal right at this point?
Well, somebody would have, yeah, there's always an appeal right of the decision of the council. Those are extremely hard to win. So I'm not worried about the ultimate result there. There were a couple of speakers that kind of alluded to things that they might raise, but I don't believe that there's anything there that would give rise to a successful claim.
When will we know, Mayor Arsenault, who this is, what the specifics of the deal are? When will we know that? When will the public be able to be privy to that?
Well, you may not ever know all of the details, but I think you will know who the operator will be and who the developer is. This is a private company and it's a private venture. So usually the public doesn't know and doesn't have a right to know all of those details. We're not Big Brother.
Would some of the tax information be public, Tom? That was some of the things people really questioned. I don't think many people might not understand a pilot tax and some of the agreements that were made in lieu of taxes. I think that was one of the big questions. Will those become public?
The pilot has been approved. It is public.
Okay.
It's been public for several weeks. The water agreement is public. It was approved last night. So those things are already public, exactly what is going to happen now. Again, the electrical arrangements, the only thing that I know is that whatever electrical facilities are necessary, including power plants, will have to be built at the expense of the developer and can't be put into the rate base for other consumers.
So, and so that part of it may stay unknown, but that's their cost.
It may, but now the only way that it would is if for some reason they included that they had to get rates approved for them, because the Public Service Commission determines those rates. But my appreciation is they're going to pay whatever the industrial rates are for electricity.
Let's back up just a minute when you say we may not know. We're going to know the overall company, like in Monroe, it's Meta. We knew when Amazon was coming. I mean, we're going to know the big company name.
They'll make an announcement. They'll make an announcement about it.
Okay. And do you have it on your timeline to know? I'd like to have more info by the first quarter or anything like that for you yet?
Our agent for these kinds of transactions is the North Louisiana Economic Partnership. And so I stay in touch with Justin Dixon on a very frequent basis to keep posted, and I believe they want to move forward quickly. So I think you'll see something very quickly, but I don't have a particular timeline.
What is your message to the residents in West Shreveport who expressed a lot of concerns? They're very worried. Many of them are retired or elderly, and they're very worried what this will do to their neighborhood. What do you say to them this morning, Mayor Arsenault?
Well, I think some of their concerns were fomented by some people who are trying to scare them. Unfortunately, that sometimes works. And so there were people that were legitimately concerned. I think certainly once it's constructed, they're hardly going to know it's there. So I feel very good about long-term. This is not something where there will be some construction. That'll be daytime activity. So I really believe that they will have some inconvenience, but ultimately I think that it will enhance their property values long term.
Tom, moving forward, construction, and I have seen some of these sites, construction is massive. There's just no other way around talking about the construction. What can the city do, or how are y'all planning for the construction phase? Because it is an industrial park on along Greenwood Road in a part of town that's got some, it does have some narrow access going. What can the city do to help during that process? Because that's what we're going to see next at some point is construction, right? Site preparation and construction.
Right. They'll have permits that when they get ready to get their permits, there'll be meetings about how best to facilitate that. And I feel confident that they will do what they can to make that as convenient as possible for people who are other than the developer.
How do you anticipate, Mayor Arsenault, this project will, in the long-term scheme of things, how will it change the face of West Shreveport? What will West Shreveport look like in 5, 10, 20 years from now?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, but I would think that in the short run, I think you're going to see food service, restaurants, perhaps some hotels or expansions of hotels. There's going to be because some of the construction workers will come in from out of state, and they will be having to be lodged somewhere. I've heard stories, and it's just stories about people going to hoteliers and saying, "Look, we want all your rooms for 5 years."
Wow!
This is a really, really big deal. In long term, big jobs, not as big as General Motors, but in terms of capital investment, absolutely as big as General Motors. And I anticipate a significant boom in West Shreveport as a result of this.
Tom, and you know I run the Realtor Association in my day-to-day life. We saw that over in some of these other areas where the contractors actually came in, as you alluded, and actually bought the hotels. They actually bought them, renovated them, and they have to house people for many years, the amount of construction workers coming in. They almost become semi-permanent citizens. What we've also seen in those locations, Tom, is that when you build the big facility, it's like in the old days, you'd build a Walmart, and then people wanted to buy the out parcels, if people understand that development analogy. And we've seen that happen with these facilities. Do you and the city or NLEP and others, do you feel there's going to be other conversations for other tenants in this industrial park?
Well, there could very well be, and there's other industrial property in the vicinity. I do think you'll have it certainly will help SLB. And I think I think you're likely to have other suppliers that are going to want to locate here just to save shipping costs and that kind of thing. So I think there'll be a number of indirect jobs that are created to support this facility.
Brandon Snead told us last half hour that the sale of the water alone is $3 million a year. Do you have a number in mind for the remainder of the taxes that will be paid?
I have seen an estimate of the 1% pilot, and remember that is a give back. The state exempted them from sales tax, so that wasn't money we were going to get anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1%, and they believe in the next 3 years will produce $20 million over 3 years. Now that's all the local sales tax entities, so that parish, sheriff, school board, if they, I don't remember if they have a sales tax or not, and the city sales tax. But ours is a good hunk of that. And then there will also be millions of dollars in property taxes.
So in general, Tom, that would be the 1% versus maybe a 4.5 where the combined Caddo City Shreveport tax may be now. That's the pilot?
Yes, but we weren't going to get that money without a pilot.
Because the state, not anything the locals did.
That's exactly right.
One last thing before we let you go. I know you probably want to have a message for residents who did speak out. I mean, that's our government process. Actually, great to see. people on both sides. Do you have a message to those folks this morning?
Well, I'm delighted that they exercised their constitutional rights to speak out. That's what we're here for. And I took their concerns to heart. A lot of times what I try and do in making decisions is to listen carefully to what their concerns are and make sure that those concerns are met. That had to do with noise, with water rates, and with electrical rates and water capacity. And I delved into those deeply and concluded that they were legitimate concerns, but they were satisfied.
Mayor Tom Arsenault, thank you for your time. We sure hope you and your family has a Merry Christmas.
Y'all have a great Christmas, too.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you so much. 1017 FM, 710 Key.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Back with you Christmas week. What is this, the 22nd? Scott Hughes, unbelievable. How, for you, the year flew by?
This year flew by.
It really has. It really has. I was talking to my girls in the pool, and I had to go to Bossier. And I was asking for volunteers of anybody that wanted to go to Bossier for me because I was scared to get in that. I had to get something on Airline Drive and on Benton Road. And, it wasn't that bad. But I had no volunteers to go do it for me. Nobody said,
driving
I'll
in
do
Bossier
it.
Bossier can be a challenge.
Airline wasn't too bad.
I'll say this. The year flew by. It's hard to believe that we're sitting here now a couple days before Christmas. Although, while the year flew by, each week seemed like the year. The amount of news and things that come out now. When you go to do your year in review, probably next week, it's going to be, what are the top stories?
Golly.
Because every week is a year of news and what we grew up in.
And the thing is, it's hard to go back to the beginning of the year because everybody will say data center. Right now, everybody would say data center is the biggest story of the year. But if we go back and look.
The biggest story of the year is Epstein Files.
You think so? Really?
I really think on a national level, the biggest story of the year is Epstein Files. Locally, there'll be different stories. But that's the point. We could sit here. We're not doing it today because we didn't come in prepared for that. But if you really start thinking back over the year, it's going to be amazing what took place in this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
I mean, think tariffs, think economy.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, we hadn't even gotten back, we could just start going backwards. Locally, we got lots of things.
Oh, there are tons. All the Supreme Court battles we're involved in, that most of them we don't know yet what will really happen with them. There's a lot of those.
You got the ICE deployments.
Mm-hmm.
Here locally, we had the blight ordinance and the blight things here in Shreveport. We've had the apartment complex fires.
Gosh.
I mean, we could just start thinking back. We're just making stuff on the fly.
So much.
It's going to be an interesting year to review, but yet it seems like the year flew by.
Yeah, you got a point. You got a point. Coming up after 7, we're going to have Richard Llewellyn joining us. The Christmas forecast, he is saying actually on the air, 80 degrees for a high. How close is that to a record? Any chance of any winter stuff anytime soon? We'll get him to review all of that coming up in about 10, 15 minutes from right now, right here on 1017 FM, 710 Keel. We are back on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. We've got our friend Richard Llewellyn from the Weather Channel. Because Scott Hughes is in for Mike today. Richard, I'm a little bit upset with you. When I hear you tell me it's going to be 80 degrees on Christmas Day, I'm like, have you lost your ever-loving mind? What is going on?
You don't want to know.
Richard, I keep telling her, you just report it, you don't create it, but she doesn't listen to me.
I don't make monkeys, I just train them.
How does this stack up in terms of record heat for Christmas Day in our area?
It's up there. In fact, looking over the records, for Christmas Day, it's you know, we're going to get pretty close. 83 is the record set back in 1964. I think we will hit 80 degrees on Christmas Day here in Shreveport, and it's going to be 81 as we move into a Friday and 80 again on Saturday. And then I think after that, the temperatures are going to fall back out again. In fact, early next week, this time next week, we'll be talking about daytime temperatures in the 50s and nighttime lows in the 30s. So we're going to settle back down to where we should be at for this time of the year. But the week ahead, it's going to be a blowtorch across much of the country. Pretty much everybody's going to miss out on a white Christmas this year. 95% of the nation will not see a white Christmas this year at all. The only places that we're looking for that possibility will probably be in the highest elevations in the Rockies and maybe in interior sections of the Northeast, but everybody else, it's off the table.
That's good news for travel, though, for folks who are traveling, right?
Oh, yeah, very good news for traveling. In fact, we don't see a whole lot in the way of any major problems. I think the only problems we're going to see is going to be out on the West Coast, where they're going to be dealing with lots of rain in California. They're going to be dealing with an atmospheric river event out there. So flood watches are up all across California from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco and Sacramento. So there's going to be problems on the West Coast. But, you know, for the Rockies and eastward, it's just going to be warm. In fact, there will be a number of records today, at least 30 record high temperatures today. By Christmas Day, there could be as many as 50 record high temperatures, and they're going to stretch from the southwest all the way up into the western high plains. The closest records we'll probably see here today is going to be down in southeast Texas. Houston hit a record yesterday of 83. We're calling for 80 in Houston today. And then tomorrow, it looks like the upper 70s and low 80s will start to edge further northward. Longview has a chance of seeing a record high tomorrow. And then it's just pretty much everybody else is going to get in on the action as we move into the latter half of the week.
Richard, so the heat's coming in. It's going to bake across the south. Is any rain coming in? Is this going to create any instability in the systems? Do we see any rain in the forecast?
No rain in the forecast at all. In fact, this is going to be a pretty dry run of weather here coming up. If we have any chance of seeing any rain in the next 10 to 15 days, it's going to be with a front that brings in the cooler temperatures at the end of the holiday weekend, where we'll see a small chance of showers on Sunday. And even then, it's less than a tenth of an inch of rain. So no rain in the forecast. This forecast looks more like, you know, mid-October instead of the week of Christmas, because temperatures are running so warm. You know, our normal high this time of year should be in the upper 50s. And, you know, we're talking about temperatures ranging anywhere between 75 and 82 for afternoon highs here for the next 7 days. So just some incredible warmth for much of the Mid-South and here across the Ark-La-Tex as well.
And I know we got about a minute left, Richard. This extremely warm weather we're getting now, and I'm going to use some terms I don't know or understand, but is it setting up some kind of El Nino thing? Are we going to see something come back like in mid-January, this warming? Is it going to hurt us later?
For Icemageddon coming?
You know, I mean, I looked out all the way through the end of January right now, because, you know, we can see out that far, you know, and everything is just advertising that temperatures are going to remain well above average, precipitation well below average. So there's no real signs of any big precipitation event all the way out through the middle part of January. So far, so good in regards to, you know, what we can experience here. There's no real signs of any cold weather really impacting the lower 48 all the way out through mid-January at this point.
Christmas record high low, you follow me, is 65 in 2015. So what will our low be on Christmas Day? What will our low temp be? Are we going to be close to that 65?
For the record low?
Yeah.
We're calling for 62 Christmas Eve, 64, the overnight low on Christmas Day.
So we're very close to that 65 record, which was the highest low ever, you follow me, ever recorded on that day.
Yeah, I get exactly what you say. And believe it or not, go back to the Christmas of 1983 when it was 6 degrees.
Ooh.
on Christmas morning, and the high that day was only 20 degrees.
And did you tell me we've never had a white Christmas in Shreveport?
We've had trace amounts of snow on the ground on Christmas Day three times. Shreveport has never had a white Christmas. You got to have at least 1 inch of snow on the ground on Christmas morning to count as a white Christmas. And that's never happened all the way back to 1871.
Richard Dwelling, I know we got to let you go. We appreciate your time. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
Thanks. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
That's wrong. You need to talk to your boss.
I am the boss.
You're making your employees work Christmas Eve.
I didn't say I was making my employees work Christmas Eve. I said I'm working Christmas Eve.
But your employees have the day off?
No.
What kind of Scrooge Grinch are you?
Well, I run a trade association for
1,500
members who sell houses whenever people want to buy them. And this may surprise you, but a lot of people do buy houses at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially people buy, a lot of property changes hands at the end of the year.
Okay.
I'll just say that.
I want to ask you about that because it brings up a point with regard to holidays. I think the president declared Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas a federal holiday. Did he not?
Regularly, the day after is often declared, yes.
Sure.
But remember, anything the president does, this gets confused a lot, executive orders, mm-hmm. et cetera, they do not affect all Americans. They only affect the federal government.
So any
private business does what private business wants.
Absolutely. But all federal government offices will be closed on Christmas Eve.
Correct. The president controls the federal. The governor controls the state. So when Jeff Landry issues an executive order, like for Mardi Gras or different things, then he's just affecting state offices, not federal.
But when we say federal, does that include banks?
Banking.
Does that shut down Wall Street?
Well, banking is federal. But there's also separate laws. I'm not a banker, so you may need to get a banker on. But there are banking laws that specifically say banks cannot be closed for so many days in a row. These go back to the crashes.
Okay.
A bank can't close for 5 days in a row. I think the most a bank can be closed might be 3 days. This is not my area of expertise.
Okay.
But banks will never be closed for like a week. Because then you lose access to your money, and that was a big deal in the crash.
Well, we don't lose access to can't we use our cards to get our money at any point we want, right?
Remember, the laws weren't written for today. The laws are written 100 years ago in reaction to other things, or like the Constitution, in anticipation of protecting your rights.
Okay.
And so, yes, today you pretty much have access to your, but remember, when a bank is closed and you do electronic transfers, you may charge something on a Friday or a Saturday. When does it go through your account?
Oh, yeah.
The next Monday.
It takes a bit.
Banks might not be working on the backside sometimes, and so those laws come in play.
But if the president's declared Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas a federal holiday, it's only for this year, this order, right? Because Christmas is on a Thursday. So it wasn't a permanent order that those were holidays, was it?
Well, I'd have to read the order. He could declare Christmas Eve and Christmas 2025. And again, remember, some of that might be the calendar. The calendar changes. This year, Christmas is, for those in the corporate world, the calendar changes.
Right.
This year's Christmas is on a Thursday. So it creates an interesting work week.
Yeah.
Because most people will take the Friday. Who wants to come back one day?
Right, exactly.
We have the same problem next week with New Year's, although New Year's doesn't tend to be as big.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas Eve is interesting, especially since a lot of churches, and we are a city of churches.
Absolutely.
And thank goodness for that here in the South. People worship in their house of worship. But a lot of the churches are now moving earlier. There used to be a trend for midnight services.
Yes.
But now a lot of the church services want to get it done by 4 or 5 o'clock.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if your employees want to go to church at 4 or 5 o'clock, they can't really be working.
Mm.
So, yes, our office is open on Christmas Eve, but we regularly kind of shut the doors in the afternoon.
Now, are you open on the Friday, the 26th?
No, we have announced. This year will be closed on the 26th.
Okay.
It doesn't make much sense to be a one day.
Yeah, and next year Christmas will be on a Friday. So it will be, you know, probably it'll just be a
more
Friday.
More traditional.
Yeah.
We'll be open on the Thursday for Christmas Eve till noonish, you know.
Right.
And then Christmas and then the weekend.
But for the military, it's interesting because it'll be... They'll be off, you know, after tomorrow.
Some.
They'll be off.
Remember, there's some military.
Oh, absolutely.
Police and fire, they don't get the day off.
No.
ER workers don't get the. Some have to show up.
And I asked a friend of mine who works in surgery at a local hospital, and I said, and she's on call for the long weekend, and I said, how busy will it be? And she said, oh, surgery's hugely busy this time of year because people are trying to get in these last-minute things to get done. If they've met their out-of-pocket or they're trying to get something in for the year, everybody wants to schedule surgery this time of year. So they're trying to get them all in, as many as they can, because that's patients and that's cash moolah.
Meet that deductible.
Yeah.
Especially depending on who you talk to. I hear those deductibles are going up next year.
You got a point. You got a point. When we come back, we're going to talk with Scott Hughes. We'll have a short segment, and then we're going to talk with Scott Hughes about the local real estate market. Is it still hot? Is it lukewarm? What's happening in different parts of our community? Stonewall, Houghton, Benton. What's going on? That's his area of expertise.
Stonewall growing up.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big brother now. Big brother. We're going to talk with Scott about that when we get back. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, power of radio, just FYI. We were talking, was it Friday, Scott? We were talking about the Piermont.
It was Friday. We were talking about Christmas traditions in the Shreveport-Bossier community, and several are right close to my house.
Yes, and I love the Piermont and Fern, the house that puts up all
Corner
the Christmas
Piermont,
lights.
Turns into Southfield right there.
I love that spot.
The Northwest Corner does every holiday. They do a tremendous, you know, display.
And right across the street, the house across the street.
The Northeast Corner.
They typically have put up a sign that points to that house and says ditto.
Ditto. And so if you're coming down Fern, headed north, you get to that intersection, you're looking at a huge display on the left, and on the right, that sign that says ditto. It's beautiful.
Well, the ditto sign wasn't up. I was very upset about it.
You called him out.
I did. I called him out.
And I think it took about 24 hours.
Yep. Ditto's back up. You can see it at the Keel Facebook page. Ditto signs back up. Thank you to the, I think Edgar and his family, they put it back up. Thank you a bunch.
Christmas came fast this year. It kind of caught up. I mean, it really.
Yes.
I mean, Lent was in November. We started, I mean, not Lent, Advent.
Advent, yes.
Advent started in November this year. Christmas is so quick.
You bet. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about the real estate market in our community. What's hot, what's not, what areas are growing big. Scott's going to put his real estate hat on because that's what he does by day. And we'll talk about that coming up next, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back. Christmas week. I cannot believe it's here. Scott Hughes in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
Brought me a Christmas coffee. That's very sweet of you.
We're going to wake you up for the audience.
Exactly. It is... In the year, I know a lot of people, I have looked at online and I've seen a lot of people looking for real estate agents, looking to buy, sell, or whatever. Is end of the year, is December a big month for moving homes, for relocating?
It's not a huge month for reload. We call it reload. Not a huge month for reload. What December often is, it's a huge month for investors because a lot of people that are serious in real estate, they're looking at their taxes. They've made money. Okay. And if they buy houses, that's a capital expenditure. They can write that off. And so you'll see a lot of property management. There's always people that move. Yes, there's still houses that sell. But a lot of the sales this month, and there'll be in this market, I'm looking at the data right here. We average about 325 sales in December.
Is that good?
Which is a lower month.
Okay.
But that's still 325 homes are going to sell in the month of December.
How has 2025 been in the real estate market in our area?
Well, I'm looking at our data, the latest data available through the 11 months through November. We had sold in this, and we say North Louisiana, seven parishes. The seven here, which mostly is Shreveport-Bossier, but we do have the other parishes. We, according through our records, through the month of November, we'd sold 4,200 homes, 4,204. For example, last year, for the whole year, we sold 4,400 homes.
Last year?
And for 24. In 23, we sold 4,400 homes. So, assuming we sell the 300-ish homes, this year will bypass the last 2 years. So sales are up.
What do you attribute that to?
I think you're starting to see a little movement in the market. What we had in 22 and 21, 21 may be the all-time record for home sales. That was COVID.
Okay.
Now we hit, we were just talking about 4,000, 4,400 homes.
Right.
We might hit 4,500 this year. In 2021, we sold 6,500 homes.
Whoa.
In 2022, we sold 5,400 homes. And then we dropped 1,000 the last 3 years, if you're looking at the big picture.
Okay.
So what you saw was a lot of people moved in COVID. Ironically, we didn't see it coming. To be honest, we were surprised.
Okay.
But people moved around. Remember, interest rates were below 3 in some cases.
Yes.
In those years. And not because of economic activity. And this is part of the issue. A lot of people want the interest rates to go extremely low. Mm-hmm. They only go extremely low when you don't have economic activity.
Right.
It's a reverse trend. So that was a very rare situation. Interest rates now are around 6, the 6 to 7. They're trending more down towards 6. That is historically a normal interest rate. So interest rates are normal. And now a lot of people who pent-up demand, they're starting to move around a little bit in the country again.
What are the hot neighborhoods in the Shreveport-Bossier area? What are the hottest areas?
I think the areas that have always been hot remain hot. Obviously, North Bossier, Benton, that corridor, not just Benton itself, but that whole North Bossier corridor remains extremely hot. Going out to the east, out Highway 80, the Houghton corridor, we call it, it remains extremely hot. Southeast Shreveport remains, as always, a very popular place. Homes in Southeast Shreveport sell very quickly. South Bossier remains very, very popular, but they're running out of room in some of those locations. And then what's really exploded the last couple of years has been the Stonewall area, this north DeSoto.
Okay.
People, you're getting out of Caddo Parish. Not that I'm recommending that, but people that don't want to be in Caddo Parish are moving just beyond the parish line. DeSoto Parish schools have grown tremendously.
Are the taxes lower there?
The tax base is a little bit lower down there. They've got the good school system. But as we'd like to say, Stonewall's growing up. Stonewall come to town. And so Stonewall is now having to deal with growth issues. Apartments are trying to come in Stonewall. Commercial is coming in Stonewall. So Stonewall today, I think, is where Benton was 20 years ago.
Would you attribute the Stonewall growth to
I-49? I-49 makes it very easy to get down there, but a lot of it's people just want to get out of city. They want more land. The school system in Stonewall, they continue to promote that. The Blanchard area, we joke in the real estate community, and I don't want to insult the mayor of Blanchard, but there is no city of Blanchard. There is a city of Blanchard. We all know that.
Yes.
But there's more of a concept of Blanchard, kind of like the concept of Benton. There is a city of Benton, but most people will tell you they live in Benton, but they really live on the lake. They live in the area of Benton.
Right.
Blanchard's the same way. People say that they live in Blanchard, but they really mean North Shreveport, and that area is extremely hot. And again, I-49 comes through there now with the exits and the access.
And Blanchard has annexed a lot of the business properties, so they get the taxes from those so that the city can do more expanding of their infrastructure, et cetera. So they've been working hard up there in Blanchard.
Yeah, so there's still places of growth. We've actually, ironically, seen a lot of activity over in Webster Parish, too.
Okay.
I think Minden, Sibley, some of those areas are starting to grow a little bit. And now it'll be really interesting to see that I-20's back opened up. I think I-20 has made some commutes a little more difficult. So now we may see growth in some of these areas. And I think we'll continue to see North Shreveport up I-49.
Our last 30 seconds. How are prices right now?
Prices have finally started to, we say, stabilize. Price is the problem. If you go back to 2018-19, the average home in this area was $180,000. Today it's $250,000. That's a lot of price inflation in the last 5 or 6 years. But the good news, the last 6 months, prices have started to stabilize around that 150 average or median price.
Wow. Okay. More with Scott Hughes after 8 o'clock. We're going to talk politics, local elections next year. Who are some names, folks he's watching? That is all coming up right here. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
The show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, Scott, I know you want to talk about this. There are some folks, and I really regret it for them, who are dreading Christmas. either they don't get along with their family or they don't have many family members left, or this is a first year without a loved one.
Christmas can be difficult.
It's a tough time.
It's not all joyous.
And I struggle with that because I know there are people listening who maybe they lost their mom this year or their father or a sibling. And it's really tough. But I would give you the advice. My advice would be, and I want to hear your advice too. My advice would be, don't let that be the focus of your Christmas. You know, don't make that the center point of your Christmas, because then you do drag it down. Then it does mire you in a depressive kind of a funk. But try to remember why we celebrate Christmas, I think, is what I would say.
It can be very difficult. A couple days ago, I don't know the exact day, but a couple days ago was the longest day of the year. And I think it was a couple days ago.
Winter solstice, yeah.
And many churches have what's called a blue service. And they do a very special service. They're very lovely. My wife's gone to a couple when she lost her mom. I lost my brother years and years ago when I was when I was in college. And so having been through that experience, it often takes you a couple of years to go through this cycle. And the holiday season is one of those cycles you hit if you've not been through it yet, having lost somebody and again, lost my father. You go through that cycle and you realize it brings back the memories.
Yes.
And I think what's important having done that is you do have to go through the cycle and you need support. But you also, I think it's important to focus on different traditions.
Right.
And if you always focus on the old tradition, and we always love tradition. I did this with my brother, my father,
right,
my family.
Right.
But my wife and I now find ourselves moving toward empty nesting. Our kids are in college,
mm-hmm.
and we're blessed this year to have them home. But we also find our traditions changing.
Yes.
And we look forward to the future. And I think if you're in that cycle, starting new traditions, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's such a great point, because I have such memories of my mother.
And you were a big family.
Oh, six children. You know, all of us had kids. It was a big to-do on Christmas Day. It was a big to-do at my family. And I often had to have, I say had to, we loved having a Christmas Eve celebration here with my husband, my kids' father's family, when we were married. And then we would have Christmas morning at our home with our kids, and then we'd hit the road and go to Baton Rouge to have Christmas with my family. And my mother was the kind that Christmas was, I mean, it was all she cared about was everybody being together. So it was all, but she was the kind that she wouldn't sit down and eat dinner. Do you need more salt? Do you need more rolls? And it would be like, just finally, one of the last Christmases with her, I kind of feel guilty about this, but I looked at her and I said, sit your beep down and eat your Christmas dinner and stop it. If I could hear her ask me one more time, do you need more salt? Or can I get you more iced tea? Sweetie, can I get you more iced tea? I would give everything in the world to hear her ask me that. I'd say, yes, Mom, could you get me some more iced tea? Indulge them. Indulge those folks, because they're not going to be with you forever. They're going to be gone one day. And the things that they do that irritate you now, you will wish you could hear that one more time.
Amen. As we grew up, we were military. My father mm-hmm. was in the Air Force. And so there were many years we were abroad. But the one thing I've always been blessed with is I've always gotten to see my family on Christmas.
Yeah.
And we'll get that again this year. And we're very blessed for that. At some point we won't. But for right now, that's what we do. And that's important to us. And I agree with you. Try to indulge people on Christmas.
Yes. Don't take offense to anything. It's stupid to let that interrupt your Christmas. It's crazy. After 8 o'clock, Scott's going to put on his electioneering hat. And we're going to take a look at what elections are coming up next year and what things he's watching. That's all coming up right here. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. We're back. I won't do that on the air, what I just did. Sorry about that.
I was afraid that was on the air. No. Goodness.
It wasn't. I was just humming a little tune, which I can't carry a note. So Reuben, it's in my contract. I'm not allowed to sing.
Singing is forbidden. I've said it a million times.
Forbidden. I'm not allowed to sing.
That wasn't singing. That was an animal in pain.
Yeah, it did sound like an animal in pain. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that. I'll spare you that if you're listening to us this morning. By the way, we appreciate you listening because this is a kind of a holiday week for a lot of folks. And so a lot of people are just, you know, spending time with family and enjoying some time.
Well, they should.
As well they should. I want to talk politics with you for a minute. Next year is a big election year. We have our mayoral race. We have our city council races. There are several others. Let's start first with the mayor's race. We have a sitting mayor who's announced he's running for reelection. How many other people jump in that race? It's not going to attract 13 or 15 other candidates, typically, when you have an incumbent running for reelection. Will it?
Historically, no. But I'd like to remind you last time when Tom ran, there was an incumbent mayor, Adrian Perkins. And there was at least seven major candidates I can think of.
A pile of them.
Five or six major candidates and then several others. So, no, historically, when you have an incumbent mayor, it tends to be a more narrow field because you know you got to overcome a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But social media can be a great equalizer, can give people a platform. And so we're already aware of three. When you talk to Shreveport mayor's race, I think we've had three people either officially announce or say they intend to officially announce. And that would be, of course, the incumbent mayor, Tom Arsenault. We've had Stormy Gage Watts, who I believe was currently the president of the commission. I think that's the title. And then we've had a younger man, Michael Mays, has announced that he's running. So there's three I'm aware of already.
Do you anticipate there will be a flanker from the right challenging Tom?
I don't know. The problem Tom faces is we do not have close primaries for local races.
Right.
We will have close primaries in 26. That's new in politics.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all learn what close primaries means. That means Republicans run against Republicans, Democrats run against Democrats, and other parties do the same thing for certain offices. We'll do it for the federal offices
right.
and maybe some of the state offices, but not for the mayor. But we've always had de facto primaries. I think in particularly in Shreveport with the population breakdown, where if two Republicans get in, one of them is going to move forward.
Okay, let's talk the city council races. We have a few of the guys are termed out, correct?
That is correct.
James Green, Grayson Butcher.
Green and Butcher are termed out. I believe, to my note, all the other council persons can run again.
And are planning to? Anticipate?
So let's go through it. Council A is Tabitha Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I think she plans to run again.
Yep.
Council B is Gary Brooks. I think he plans to run again. That'll again be a hot contested seat.
Okay? Really?
B is kind of the hottest seat right now, I think, in terms of politics. Because you get into Democrat-Republican, although it's probably a Democratic district, but you get into black-white.
Yes.
And Gary is white, and that's the seat that the African-American community thought that they couldn't flip last time.
Crowded field for that seat, you think?
That'll be a crowded field, I think, for B.
Okay.
C is largely parts of East Shreveport. That's Jim Taliaferro.
Mm-hmm.
He's already announced he's running again. Really don't think he's going to have much opposition.
Okay.
It'd be interesting to see if he even gets opposition. D is the other interesting seat on the Republican side. It's currently Grayson. He's termed out. I'm already aware of two names, Scott Ward and Tim Mueller.
All right.
I know Tim has openly announced. I've seen that announcement. So we're going to have at least two there. You might get more because that seat doesn't come open every 8 years.
And right.
It's a prime plum. Council E is currently Alan Jackson.
That's
Dr.
The
Alan
one
Jackson.
I'm interested in.
That's the other one. That was the seat that, quote, flipped in Shreveport politics.
Mm-hmm.
It went from largely being a white Republican seat over the years to now being an African-American Democratic seat.
Does he run for reelection? People are saying he might not.
I don't know. Again, I know Dr. Jackson. He is in real estate. I've not talked to him really in a while. I don't know that he runs again. We'll have to wait and see. It seems like he's indicating he might. I don't see anything that says he's not going to.
But doesn't he have a job that may take him out of town a lot?
The rumor is he does go out of town for employment. But employment is not a requirement to run for city council.
Sure.
Residency is.
Right.
And so as long as he has residency, he can run. I think he may have some political problems in that district. I've heard that Alan Oliver, a name that many of us in politics know, is looking at that seat. We'll wait and see if Alan files or not. I think you will have a race in E, one way or another.
Okay, F is the James Green
F
seat.
F is the James Green seat. It's really only been two people held that seat for the most part of my entire life. Three actually technically held it because there was one other person. But, yes, James is termed out. Reverend Green is termed out. I've heard two names. I've heard Billy Anderson and Lester Smith. And, again, we're not trying to put anybody in a race. I'm just, this is what I do. I'm a political analyst. I'm just trying to be fair and list the names that I've heard.
Now, I've also heard Stephanie Lynch is popping back up.
Stephanie Lynch is another one. Like I said, there were three names that have held that seat and then the terms of that seat.
And the other name is Joe Shine, obviously.
The other name is Joe Shine. Shine and Green bounced it back and forth, and Lynch took it for 4 years before she moved on to the commission.
Yeah.
And she may come back. I've not officially heard that, so I'm not kind of putting her in there yet, but it wouldn't shock me.
And G.
And then G is Ursula Bowman, who can run for re-election. And really, to be honest, until the data center thing, I would have told you Bowman was untouchable. I still think she's unbeatable, but things like the data center might tend to bring somebody out thinking they have a wedge issue. I don't think that. I think Ms. Bowman's going to be pretty safe for a re-election.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about the midterm elections and get Scott's take on that, because I'm curious about this closed primary stuff. Like, let's talk Mike Johnson, and let's talk the races that are going to have the closed primaries, which will be springtime elections that we don't realize. I want to talk about that when we come back.
And those closed primaries will take place, in some regards, the same time these non-closed primaries take place.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to talk about that when we get back. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, here we go, Scott Hughes. The closed primary, essentially for our congressional races and our U.S. Senate race, that's a May election.
It was going to be in April, I believe, and the legislature moved it back to May because what they're doing to put all the pieces together is they're waiting on the Supreme Court to rule on a very important case. I believe it's called Calais. Mm-hmm. This is where that the drawing of the lines for the congressional districts has been in the courts for a long time now. This is the Cleo Fields, the snake district.
Right.
And so they moved it back a month because they're hoping the Supreme Court will put that out. They really were hoping in December, which is not going to happen now.
Sure.
And then that would allow filing to take place, and then they could draw the new districts. They could run back in session and draw new districts. I went on record months ago saying I didn't think they would put it out in December. They haven't yet. They normally put these out in June at the end of the session.
You said you don't expect it in May.
And so I didn't expect it in May. So I believe today we are going to run these congressional races, which is Mike Johnson's seat.
Sure.
For us, and Cleo Fields, who also touches this region.
And Senator Cassidy.
I think those did. No, but except Cassidy and Kennedy are different. They're the whole state. So their district is not going to change. We know the Senate district.
Sure.
And so, but for the representative districts, I think we're going to run this next year, the 26th election, with the current districts.
Now, here's the rub. The closed primaries means if you're a Democrat, you cannot vote in the Republican primaries in these elections, in the Senate race or in the congressional race, correct?
Well, and this is going to be weird. This is still 25, so I haven't looked that far ahead. It's up to the parties of who can vote in their primary.
Really?
Generally, once you declare, and again, so I want to be careful because I've not put that research in.
Okay.
Again, we didn't have show prep. if the person in charge of the show would have told me, we might have had some
research. Yeah, Ruben, work on that.
I want to be careful making those statements without having deeply looked at it. Nancy Landry, the Secretary of State, she has information on her website. But in general, the parties get to decide who votes in their primaries. And traditionally across the country, the Republican Party might say only register Republicans because they're trying to control the Republicans.
Sure.
Democrats might say, oh, we'll let independents vote, you know. And so generally it's the party people, and they might decide to let independents vote.
Okay.
I do know what's fairly consistent in this type of closed primary law across the country is once you start a cycle, like if I'm an independent and I choose to vote Republican in the first one, I'm stuck voting Republican the whole time. I can't jump over. I can't go back and forth.
Here's what's confusing. That'll be Mike Johnson, Senator Cassidy, they will be on the ballot May 16th in closed primaries.
We know right now, unless the legislature changes it, right now we know the first round of closed primaries is in May, which means Mike Johnson and anyone that wants to run against him, Cleo Fields, and anyone that wants to run against him will be on a ballot, party ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the big one's going to be Cassidy.
Because sure.
I personally don't think Cleo will get much opposition or Mike will get much opposition.
But Senator Cassidy does.
Senator Cassidy,
a bunch of Republicans.
Senator Cassidy is going to have probably as many as five legitimate candidates.
So two will make it to the June election on the Republican side alone,
correct,
likely.
Because in May, I do not see any candidate getting 50%.
Even Cassidy.
I predict Cassidy leads with about 30% in that race. The other candidates will split the other 70%. So Cassidy and whoever comes in second, whether that's John Fleming, whether that's Blake Miguez, whether that's, and there's a series of four or five others have announced. Julie Edmondson, I think, has announced. Whoever comes in second, because I think Cassidy will lead, and I know Republican friends don't want to hear that, but Cassidy likely leads that field with 30, 35%.
Okay.
Whoever comes in second gets to the runoff.
And that runoff is June 27th.
The runoff is in June. Now, then they run head up. This is the big question in Louisiana politics right now. Can Cassidy get 50.1% in that race? Because, say Cassidy gets in against Fleming or against Blake Miguez, well, then what everyone's betting on is they will win that primary. The other Republican candidate will beat Cassidy head up.
Wow.
That's going to be the close one.
And but then they move from that one
to the fall.
To the November 3rd election.
Where they'll now be against whoever came out of the same thing that happened on the Democratic side.
Okay.
And we don't have a whole lot of candidates over there yet.
No,
right?
We don't.
There'll be one or two right now. But then somebody from the Democratic side will probably float through. And they'll be sitting there on the fall ballot. And then you also will pick up other parties, Libertarian, et cetera.
Green Party, yeah.
Green Party, and anyone that's no party, or we call them independents, but they're really no party. So again, there could be four or five names on that ballot.
And then you move to the December. So this could be four elections for the Mike Johnsons, the Bill Cassidy.
Likely three. In practical terms, when we get to that first ballot in the fall, I think it's November, likely somebody will get 50%, probably the Republican candidate.
Interesting. Christmas weather is wackadoodle. Richard Llewellyn from the Weather Channel, he's going to join us in about 10 minutes to explain what the heck is going on when I hear him say 80 degrees on Christmas Day. Has he lost his freaking mind? That is coming up, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more party on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Christmas week. It's Christmas week. Reuben, do we have any Christmas music over there? Have you dug anything up yet? Are you digging?
I have dug up no Christmas music.
What the heck is wrong with you?
It's that Opossum Christmas album.
Oh, man.
No, Scott. I like my job. Reuben likes his job. Do you have much left to do Christmas-wise? Is it all pretty? You don't do diddly, do you?
I think it's funny you think I have anything to do with Christmas. My greatest Christmas gift is my wife.
Oh, yeah.
A, she loves Christmas, and B, she loves shopping. She shops all year long. She's excellent at getting gifts for everybody. I generally get her a gift.
Okay.
And we agree with her gift. What we agree with her gift was this year.
Oh, you already picked it out, and
it's a new roof.
Oh, there you go.
Now, I'm sure I'll get her something else. Yes, but
you'll get her something else. So we still have to do that.
So it's.
Please don't be in the CVS aisle on Christmas Eve picking out something for your wife.
Remember, Hans Gruber hasn't fallen off Nakatomi Tower yet, still have time to shop.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I just can't believe it's Christmas week. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's why I haven't gotten any Christmas music together. It snuck up on me.
It is. It's very weird how it just showed up, and it's all of a sudden it is Christmas week. It's very bizarre.
Well, and based on listening to Richard Llewellyn, we've got to play that. What is it? The Bing Crosby Maka Kaleka?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't play White Christmas. Yeah. We got to find the Hawaiian one.
Yeah, definitely. Tomorrow, you're working on something special for me. I did give you a little heads up.
You want to do some top tens tomorrow?
I want to do the 10 biggest stories for Shreveport-Bossier for the year.
I think we should only do the top five so we could avoid 6 and 7.
Oh, hit him. Please get the bat out and hit him.
You just want to skip from 5 to 8. Do we want to
let's maybe do that. And then the top national stories, too. Because I think you and I might disagree on that. But don't say it today.
It's okay if you want to be wrong.
When we come back, you will hear our conversation with Richard Llewellyn talking a little bit about this Christmas heat wave that we have. Unbelievable. That is next right here on Keel.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
We are back on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. We've got our friend Richard Llewellyn from the Weather Channel. Because Scott Hughes is in for Mike today. Richard, I'm a little bit upset with you. When I hear you tell me it's going to be 80 degrees on Christmas Day, I'm like, have you lost your ever-loving mind? What is going on?
You don't want to know.
Richard, I keep telling her, you just report it, you don't create it, but she doesn't listen to me.
Yeah. I don't make monkeys, I just train them.
How does this stack up in terms of record heat for Christmas Day in our area?
It's up there. In fact, looking over the records, for Christmas Day, we're going to get pretty close. 83 is the record set back in 1964. I think we will hit 80 degrees on Christmas Day here in Shreveport, and it's going to be 81 as we move into a Friday and an 80 again on Saturday. And then I think after that, the temperatures are going to fall back out again. In fact, early next week, this time next week, we'll be talking about daytime temperatures in the 50s and nighttime lows in the 30s. So we're going to settle back down to where we should be at for this time of the year. But the week ahead, it's going to be a blowtorch across much of the country. Pretty much everybody's going to miss out on a white Christmas this year. 95% of the nation will not see a white Christmas this year at all. The only places that we're looking for that possibility will probably be in the highest elevations in the Rockies and maybe in interior sections of the Northeast, but everybody else, it's off the table.
That's good news for travel, though, for folks who are traveling, right?
Oh, yeah, very good news for traveling. In fact, we don't see a whole lot in the way of any major problems. I think the only problems we're going to see is going to be out on the West Coast, where they're going to be dealing with lots of rain in California. They're going to be dealing with an atmospheric river event out there. So flood watches are up all across California from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco and Sacramento. So there's going to be problems on the West Coast. But, for the Rockies and eastward, it's just going to be warm. In fact, there will be a number of records today, at least 30 record high temperatures today. By Christmas Day, there could be as many as 50 record high temperatures, and they're going to stretch from the southwest all the way up into the western high plains. The closest records we'll probably see here today is going to be down in southeast Texas. Houston hit a record yesterday of 83. We're calling for 80 in Houston today. And then tomorrow, it looks like the upper 70s and low 80s will start to edge further northward. Longview has a chance of seeing a record high tomorrow. And then it's just pretty much everybody else is going to get in on the action as we move into the latter half of the week.
Richard, so the heat's coming in. It's going to bake across the south. Is any rain coming in? Is this going to create any instability in the systems? Do we see any rain in the forecast?
No rain in the forecast at all. In fact, this is going to be a pretty dry run of weather here coming up. If we have any chance of seeing any rain in the next 10 to 15 days, it's going to be with a front that brings in the cooler temperatures at the end of the holiday weekend, where we'll see a small chance of showers on Sunday. And even then, it's less than a tenth of an inch of rain. So no rain in the forecast. This forecast looks more like, mid-October instead of the week of Christmas, because temperatures are running so warm. Our normal high this time of year should be in the upper 50s. And, we're talking about temperatures ranging anywhere between 75 and 82 for afternoon highs here for the next 7 days. So just some incredible warmth for much of the Mid-South and here across the Ark-La-Tex as well.
And I know we got about a minute left, Richard. This extremely warm weather we're getting now, and I'm going to use some terms I don't know or understand, but is it setting up some kind of El Nino thing? Are we going to see something come back like in mid-January, this warming? Is it going to hurt us later?
For Icemageddon coming?
I looked out all the way through the end of January right now, because, we can see out that far, and everything is just advertising that temperatures are going to remain well above average, precipitation well below average. So there's no real signs of any big precipitation event all the way out through the middle part of January. So far, so good in regard to, what we can experience here There's no real signs of any cold weather really impacting the lower 48 all the way out through mid-January at this point.
Christmas record high low, you follow me, is 65. 65 in 2015. So what will our low be on Christmas Day? What will our low temp be? Are we going to be close to that 65?
For the record low?
Yeah.
We're calling for 62 Christmas Eve, 64 the overnight low on Christmas Day.
So we're very close to that 65 record, which was the highest low ever. You follow me? Ever recorded on that day?
Yeah. I get exactly what you say. And believe it or not, go back to the Christmas of 1983 when it was 6 degrees.
Ooh.
on Christmas morning, and the high that day was only 20 degrees.
And did you tell me we've never had a white Christmas in Shreveport?
We've had trace amounts of snow on the ground on Christmas Day 3 times.
Mm.
Shreveport has never had a white Christmas. You got to have at least 1 inch of snow on the ground on Christmas morning to count as a white Christmas. And that's never happened all the way back to 1871.
Richard Lwelling, I know we got to let you go. We appreciate your time. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
Thanks.
Thanks,
101.7 FM, 710.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
We are back. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty. My buddy Scott Hughes is in studio with us today. And for tomorrow, he's going to bring with him a list of the top 10 local Shreveport-Bossier stories for the year and the top 10 national stories for the year.
We haven't done national in a while. That'll be good.
We have not.
And you and I agree, it's going to be an interesting year. There's so much that happened.
So much.
How do you just get it down to 10?
Right. And when you think about local stories, it's hard to get away from the most recent, you know, the data center. But we've had a lot of big stories this year.
We all have short memories, but there was a lot of things that took place locally this year.
Absolutely. Lots of things happening across the region, the state, et cetera.
And we kind of forget nationally, it's been a long year. President Trump didn't even take office till January.
I mean, that
is this year.
That's a big story
it
in itself.
It seems like years ago.
Him being sworn in January 20th was this year. He's just in his first year of his second term. So I got a text over the weekend from a friend of mine who texted the owner of the house at Fern. And is it Piermont or Southfield right there?
It changes right there. I think it's officially Piermont. But
okay.
You called these people out.
I did. Because the one house on the west corner.
Northwest corner.
They decorate, I mean.
Every holiday.
Everything.
A lot of inflatables.
Hanging from the trees.
One of the most decorated houses in Shreveport-Bossier.
It's gorgeous. Every Christmas. And then the folks right across the street from them.
Northeast corner.
Exactly. For the past few years, they've been putting out a sign that simply had an arrow pointing to that house, and the sign said, ditto.
It's beautiful.
It's the best thing ever, and it has not been up.
So far.
I was very upset.
Apparently so, and you on a public radio called out.
Called them out.
Private citizens.
Mm-hmm, I did.
But what's the power of radio?
The ditto sign's back. They put the ditto sign back up this weekend. You can see it on the Kiel Facebook page. It's actually absolutely my favorite holiday display, and it is back up. And I just told you where it is. But comment if you want, if you know, if you've seen this yet. It's just hilarious to put a sign up that says ditto. I love it.
It is now Christmas for you because the ditto sign is back. And, of course, it's right there on my street, which is Piermont.
If you go west.
And Candy Cane Forest is up and shining this year. I think Santa's going to be back, the big Santa at the base of Thrill Hill.
Oh, good.
I did not see this morning. I didn't come that way this morning, but Santa and the Christmas tree are supposed to be back. It's Christmas, even though it's hot.
Yes.
It's Christmas. I think I told you, my family, we went and saw Leslie Odom Jr. with the Shreveport Symphony Friday night. Unbelievable sold out concert Friday night.
Huge
crowd.
That's incredible. That really isn't. The Candy Cane Forest is just west of Fern. Are there more homes participating this year?
There are more homes participating, and it's actually starting to grow into some of the side streets there.
Really?
Most people come down the main drag, and it's very nice. But, yes, I mean, we do get some turnover, and we do get some new homeowners every now and then. And then, of course, so people move in and they don't know about it the first year. So the next year they're up. But a lot more homes are doing it this year.
That is so cool. If you haven't seen it yet, drive through. It's right there on Piermont, just east of Line Avenue, the Candy Cane Forest.
Between Line and Fern, primarily.
Mm-hmm. Something really beautiful to see. Scott will be back with us tomorrow as we get closer to Christmas. It'll be Christmas Eve's Eve. Is that right? Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Festivus. For those
that
celebrate. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
And I think
we'll
air some grievances.
Yes, we might. And Ruben might pull some Christmas tunes for tomorrow, too. That is all coming up tomorrow right here, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.